You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
I want to minister to you today on a subject that is real simple and real basic. This didn't spur, I saw something on TV, and it didn't spur the message per se, but this is what I was going to minister on, but man, what a topic to discuss. And I don't know if anybody saw it. I recorded it because I didn't get to watch it. I wasn't there, but I recorded it. It was Barbara Walters asking the questions about heaven and how to get there. Is heaven real and how do you get there? It was clips that they played in the beginning were pretty interesting. And, you know, of course, they asked people all over the world and the religions and all that stuff, you know, different religions. And some people believed in heaven, some didn't. Some people didn't believe that there was a heaven and a hell. Some did. Some, you know, I think Joel Osteen was going to be on there too, and some other people. But, man, I want to see that. But it was talking about salvation, basically, and you know, how do you get saved? And I'm not going to talk to you about how to get saved necessarily, but I want to talk to you this morning about salvation and about help and where it comes from. I think in a world that we live in today, you know, we need to know that our help comes from God. We need to have an understanding, and not just an understanding, but, you know, it needs to click in us first. God's word, God's help, God's salvation needs to be the first thing that clicks in our minds when circumstances arise in our lives. We taught this morning in the class about, you know, getting wisdom from God and studying His word to get wisdom from God, and that's, some of that may bleed over into this morning service because, you know, I was ministering on that. But we have to know what God's word is, obviously. We have to study God's word so that we know, you know, what He can and can't do and what we can and can't do. And how many know we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we can do everything that God gives us promises in His word concerning our lives. We can do all those things and we can accomplish all those things. We got to know what those things are. But we need to know that so that whenever things do come up, when situations do arise, circumstances do come against, the devil attacks us, you know, we need to know that immediately, hey, let's go to God. You know, let's go to God. Let's get his counsel on this, and let's pray, and let's get some help. I need some help. I know several songs regarding help, you know. I need somebody help. Not just anybody. Not just anybody. Who do we need? Jesus. All right, now, before we get too far into this, y'all are going to have to help me here. Y'all going to have to wake up. Do we need to go serve some? Oh, you know what? I think we're out of coffee. I got a note from Dave saying that we're out of coffee, I think. No, we're going to have to come alive. Everybody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, good. How many of you need some help? Yes, amen. I don't want to be the only one that needs help here today. I'll preach to myself if I have to, but I need some help too. I need some help. But anyway, all right, so let's turn to Jonah. You might not know where Jonah is unless you have an iPad. If you haven't been studying your Bible very much, Jonah, you just pop it in the old iPad and it goes, whoop, there it is. But, you know, you got Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Micah, Nahum, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Obadiah, Jonah. Yeah. It's on page 1067. That's where it's at. I think, Mike Harrison said this morning, I told him I was going to have to upgrade the operating system on my iPad here. And he goes, you're going to put tabs on it? Help me find things faster. But we all know the story of Jonah. It's a common story. I just want to bring out some points in this story that I thought were just great. And I didn't necessarily study Jonah, particularly when I was thinking about salvation. This story just kind of came to me. Starting out, Jonah was, let's read the first chapter of the first verse. You'll like this. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. And so Jonah took off running for his life away from Nineveh. I think many times when we need help, it's because we have not hearkened unto the voice of the Lord. Can anybody join me on that one? I didn't listen to God's word. I mentioned this morning in the class about a time we bought a car one time, and I'll tell the story again here. It's very pertinent. We bought a car, and I knew I wasn't supposed to buy this car. I didn't have peace about it. I was against it, but I was kind of pressured to do it. You know, I said, okay, we'll get this car. You know, I kind of needed to trade in a vehicle, and this car was, you know, a deal that was going to help us get out of a vehicle we needed to get, you know, out of. It was about to, you know, it was about to pass on and go to heaven. And so, but man, you know, I didn't really have peace about it then, and I wasn't sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit to obey, such a simple word, to obey. And man, I tell you what, I felt like Jonah. I had run from the Word of God there, and I fell into a whale of poverty over that car, and it swallowed me. How many of you have been swallowed by circumstances that you didn't listen to God in the beginning on? So anyway, I can relate to Jonah here. I can relate to Jonah, and I've been sensitive to the Holy Ghost, and I follow peace now a lot more diligently. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You have a decision to make in your life, and you just operate. Some, you know, not everybody has an audible voice, you know, of God telling them, "Hey, Amanda, don't wear that dress. Curl your hair today, not straight." You know. God, you know, I wish he. Yeah, she says, "I wish he would," but you know, we don't always hear an audible voice. But you know, I operate on peace. I mean, I know most people do. You know, if I don't have peace about something, I try not to do it. I try not to go that direction. And but anyway, you know, God told Jonah to go somewhere and do something, and Jonah arose to flee. He didn't say he just disobeyed God and just decided not to go. He didn't sit where he was at and not go. He took off running, and of course, God had to chase him down and get him straightened out and lined out there, I guess. But anyway, no, his because he wasn't following God. When you get in sin, when you're not following God's word, how this still kind of goes along with what we're teaching in the class this morning. I didn't mean for that to happen. But anyway, when you're not following God's word, your path is a little rockier because you've opened the door for the devil to come in and attack you and come against you. So anyway, the story was, you know, he got on a ship. He tried to go, flee away to another city. I'm going to combine this real fast. And a huge storm came, waves tossed the ship around. I mean, these guys are about to drown in this boat because they've got this disobedient, you know, man of God on there. And finally, they cast lots, and lot fell upon Jonah, and he says, "All right, guys, I'm sorry. Y'all just got to chunk me in the ocean, you know, chunk me in the sea here, because that's the only way you're gonna be saved." They didn't want to do it at first, but they ended up finally doing that. Then they feared God and made sacrifices because they just threw man of God over the side of the ship. I'd be concerned. But anyway, so then, you know, to make the story even longer, a great fish, we all know it's a whale, a great fish, no, I don't know what it was, but a great fish God had prepared to come, you know, swallow, devour Jonah there, and he takes him in. He's in this fish, the belly of this fish, for 3 days and three nights. And we pick up our story from there. It says here, the last verse of chapter 1, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." I think it's interesting the way this progresses here. Verse 1 of chapter 2. Then, after 3 days and three nights, then, everybody say then. Are you still with me? Yes. Okay. "Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly." I'm thinking, I mean, one more night with the frog. You know, Pharaoh, Moses comes, and they've got these plagues, and there's these frogs are just covering everything, And, you know, they're all in their food and their houses and their buildings and the streets. And Moses comes and he says, hey, you know, just let God's people go. The plague, will be lifted. And he sits there and thinks about it. And he goes, let me have one more night with frogs, you know. I mean, come on. The first night, I'd have been saying, deliver me. Help me. I need some deliverance, some salvation here, you know. But it says, interesting enough, after 3 days and three nights, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. At least he got a hold of something here after 3 days and three nights. But it says that he prayed from the fish's belly, and he cried out, you know, and we'll just read the first part of this, and we're going to skip down. It says, and he said, verse 2, chapter 2, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. How many of you know if you cry out to Jesus, you cry out to the Lord, he will answer you? Amen? How many of you know that if you cry out to the Lord, you call upon the name of Jesus, that he'll answer you? Amen. How many of you know that if you call upon the name of the Lord, you cry out to the Lord, that he will answer you?
Yes,
y'all are going to get this in a minute. How many of you know down in your knower right in here that if I cry out to the Lord, if I call upon the Lord, that he's going to answer me and you? How many of you know that? How many of you know? I mean, how many of you really, 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 really know that if you call on the Lord, that he will answer you?
Yes, amen.
I believe you now. I believe that you actually know that now. But Jonah did this. He cried out to the Lord because of his affliction, and the Lord answered him. All right, now let's skip on down. I always wondered, too, about this before we skip here. The second part of that verse says, out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. I always wonder if that was, you know, a good name for a whale. We went with Shamu, you know, around here, but Sheol, you know, okay, just a thought. Okay, so let's skip on down here, verse 7. He talks a little bit about the waters surrounding him and all these things and weeds wrapped around his head. And, you know, I kind of get a picture of this, you know, bleached white man with seaweed wrapped around his head, you know, coming walking down the beach into the city of Nineveh saying, repent! Okay! You know, I definitely would be listening to that guy. But it says in verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. Well, I would think after not, you know, eating, I might have been drinking, you know, ocean water for 3 days. I don't know how that works, but anyway, I don't think it does. But, you know, after not eating and drinking for 3 days and you're in the belly of a whale in the middle of the ocean, I think that your soul would begin to faint a little bit on you. But when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. Oh, wait a second. Oh, yeah, that's right. I have a Father God who loves me and who cares for me, and even if I mess up, you know, he'll come and rescue me and deliver me and bring salvation to me. Oh, yeah, you know, we do not need to be like that. You know what I mean? I mean, thank you, Dr. Galloway. I'll preach to you today. We don't need to be like that. We need to, I mean, when trouble comes, we've got to be quick to pray. We've got to be quick to remember where our help comes from. If you don't have a revelation of where your help comes from, 9 times out of 10, you're not getting any help. I mean, you know, God is merciful, and there are times where his mercy endures, and you are, you know, delivered from a situation that you really didn't, you know, just really believe God to get out of, but, you know, he is merciful. But, I mean, if we're quick to remember who God is, and that he is our salvation, and he is our help, he is our peace, he is our joy, he is our deliverer, he's my shield, my buckler. He's my strong tower. I mean, if we remember all those things, and where does my help come from? It comes from Jesus. Well, then, as soon as I fall into a situation that I need some help, boom, that's the first person that comes to my mind. You know, I heard a commercial the other day. It said, I forget what, State Farm or somebody, I don't remember. It said, okay, so, what does you know, this insurance policy cover? Does it cover your grandmother's grandfather clock? If it were, you know, destroyed in a fire, or does it cover your garage if it were hit by a satellite? Well, the answer is both. So, if your garage is ever hit by a satellite, call State Farm and then call the government. You know, the order of which one you call there first, you know. We need to be calling God first, not our insurance agent, you know. We need to be calling our correct insurance agent who covers and replaces and repairs everything. You know, his coverage is, he's got great coverage. We need to be calling our true Father God, who is our, you know, insurance agent there, and make sure that we're doing those in the right order. We're not, you know, calling a friend to talk about how bad the situation is, or mom and dad, or, you know, sisters and brothers, or our wife or husband, or, you know, we don't need to be walking around the mullet grass, man, what am I going to do? You know, this is happening to me. I don't know why this is all happening to me. And days go by, 3 days and three nights. And then, oh, wait, hey, you know what? Maybe we should pray about this. Who was it? Butch Bruton, I think, that said he had a board meeting in his church, and they had a situation in the church. They were trying to just, they were solving this thing. And again, leaning back to some of the things we talked about in class this morning, they were leaning to their own understanding about things. And they were using man's wisdom and being wise in their own eyes, trying to figure this thing out. Boy, they were just went over the different options, and we could do this, we could try this, and try this, do this. Meeting went on for a little bit, and then finally one guy says, hey, why don't we pray about this? Has it come to that? You know, yeah, it's come to that. It should be at that, the beginning. We should be praying first, seeking God first. Know where your help comes from. Amen. All right, let's move on. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. You know, I taught on remembering, a different scenario, but talking about remembering the good things that God's done for you in your life. And to remember, you know, when you remember something, it's something that you already know. You know, you experience, it's something that you have in your mind to pull back out of your mind, you know, or your memory banks, we'll say. But to remember, just think about members of a body. Say you had an arm and it got cut off and it's laying on the ground. If somebody took off with that, that'd be armed robbery. But say you had an arm and you needed to get that arm put back on. Well, you would be remembering it. You'd be rejoining something that was part of you back to your body. Okay? So now, when you remember the word of the Lord, it needs to have been something that's been a part of you to begin with first. But when you remember the Lord needs to be part of you. He needs to be inside of you. So obviously we're speaking to Christians here and believers in the name of Jesus and believers in God. And so when you remember the Lord, you rejoin yourself to Him. Right? Ryan, can I use you for an example, sir? Don't say no, please. Okay. So here's, oh, this is good. God's wearing black today. But here's the Lord here, all right? Now, the Lord and I, we've been buddies for a long time. We walk arm in arm. You know, I consult Him. You know, we don't need to go this way? Okay, we'll go your way, okay? All right? You know, I've been consulting Him, but sometimes we get over here and we get away from God, and then things happen to us, and we're not in His will. We're not in His favor. And sometimes the devil just attacks you, okay? And he'll attack you. We need to come over here and rejoin ourselves and remember the Lord. Okay, now, what do we need to do about this? And Ryan, who's the Lord, who's our salvation, he says, let me take care of this. I'll take care of this for you. And so I go like this right here, and he goes over there, and he, you know, sucker punches the devil, you know, and they say, there, that's taken care of. Okay, well, let's go. Keep going, you know. I rejoin myself with Him. If I'm way over here, it's a lot easier to forget about Him, isn't it? Because I've got all these other people around me and all this other stuff going on in my life. And, oh, man, you know, oh, what am I going to do? Oh, man, it might take me a little bit to wander back over this direction a little bit, huh? Is it clicking? All right, thank you, sir. Everybody give Ryan a hand. He did a great job. But when you remember the Lord, it needs to be something, and obviously something you need to remember quickly. You don't need to stray away from Him. You don't need to be separating yourself from God so that you can remember Him, and it comes quick. And I'll share this example that I used already again. My miracle baby girl, Cassidy, is big about praying. We pray on over our food and pray over ouchies and boo-boos and, you know, all those things. And she loves to pray too. She'll, you know, amen. You know, and we get to doing the, we pray over the food, and I have to constantly, you know, I try to explain to her. I'm not trying to get on to her so much, but I try to explain to her that, you know, when Reese or when Daddy or, you know, some one of us are praying, or Cole, when we're praying over the food, you have to let them pray, because you're praying, Father God, thank you, bless this food. She's trying to talk over you, you know, while you're trying to pray, you know, and then, amen, you know. Well, and then Reese, you know, hurt his hand and broke a bone here in his hand at camp, and we had to take him to the doctor. And so the other day, Cassie comes, you know, walking through the house. My leg hurt. I'm going to go doctor. I said, no. I mean, hey, we're going to stop that real quick. We're going to pray first. Now, if we have to go to the doctor, we will go to the doctor, because we will do everything we can to get healed. But we're going to pray first. That's the first thing that needs to. Our salvation, our help comes from the Lord. Amen. And we need to remember that. Remember that. Okay, so here we go. And when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. I mean, underline that. I don't know how you do that on your iPad, but anyway, underline that, mark that, highlight it, whatever it is. Salvation is of the Lord. He's who you need to run to. He's who you need to go to. You know, we've got several scriptures we could talk about that. You know, let's hold your place there, I guess. Nah, you don't have to hold your place there. Let's go to Proverbs 18 real quick. Proverbs 18. This is a good one. We kind of alluded to this already. Proverbs 18. All right. It says in verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. A strong tower. You know, in days of old, they had, you know, huts and houses and buildings, and then they had in parts of castles too, they had, you know, certain rooms that were the stronghold. You know, that's where they would go when there was a battle, because nobody could enter and break into that particular part. And you could fight from that area of the castle, you know, and certain walls in the castle were stronger than other walls, and they would try to, you know, that's how the devil would try to come in and try to hit you on your weak spots. But then there was, you know, a stronghold or a strong part of the castle or a strong, you know, building of those times. They referred to it like a strong tower. It was a place that you could run into. The enemy couldn't get in. There was just no way he could get in. It was just so fortified. And then you had ways of defending yourself. You could shoot back, and, you know, you could fire back arrows and, you know, spears, whatever else, and sword fight and all that stuff, you know, all the good old day stuff. But the Lord, the name of the Lord it's like a strong tower. And it says the righteous run to it and are safe. You know, whenever we call upon the name of the Lord, when something's happened in our lives and we say, and this has happened in many cases, sometimes all you can get out is the name Jesus. I mean, you know, sometimes your situations come and maybe something happens real fast, and all you can say is, Jesus! Well, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And when you call on that name, I mean, obviously, if we're Christian, how many of you are Christians here today? All right. If you're a Christian here today, you called on the name of Jesus. You called on the name of the Lord. You believed on Him, and you became saved, you know, salvation in the sense of eternal life. But the same, you know, and we see it over and over in the Scriptures, same salvation by calling on the name of the Lord. In that instance, you can receive healing and deliverance and help and joy and peace. You can receive all the same things, all the same help by calling on the name of the Lord. Amen? won't we just do this real quick? Everybody just raise your hands and just say, Jesus. 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 You know, it's just as simple as doing that right there. You don't have to know how to pray this elaborate, you know, well eloquent prayer, and it's full of these scriptures and reference them, and you got, boy, you tie in, you know, the situation and God's word and your prayers, and it's not that complicated if you just say the name Jesus, call on His name. His name is a strong tower, and the people call on His name, they run to it. When you're calling on the name of Jesus, you're running, you're saying, I am in need of some help, and You are my help. You are my salvation, and I'm running to You. You call on that name. You call on the name of the Lord. Father God, help me. Jesus, help me. You know, You are safe. You know, and I always like to use the analogy of, you know, somebody running in. You know, baseball's big right now. You're running into home plate. You know, you're running in. He's going to score. Oh, he's running. The catcher catches the ball, and he's fixing to tag you, and you slide in there, and the guy goes, safe! Umpire holler, safe. You made it. They can't come out now. You're there. You made it. You're home. You scored. You're there. You're safe. That's what happens. Whenever, I mean, you've got a lot of things going on here. Crowds are roaring too, boy. You realize you're in trouble. The guy in the outfield has got an arm like a rocket. And he can throw that thing to home, and you may not be that fast at running, but you've already taken off from third base, and you've got to get home, and you're running home, and you're giving it all you got. And, I mean, the crowd's going wild. Oh, my goodness, and all this is going on. And is he going to make it? I don't know if he's going to make it. Is he fast enough? I don't know if he's fast enough or not. That guy can throw the ball. Boy, here it comes. Woo! It's going to be close. Slides in there. Safe! He made it. Every time, everybody say every time. Every time. Wait a second. What is it? How many of you know that if you cry out to Jesus, call on His name, pray to the Lord that He answers you? How many of you know that? Yeah. Don't need to ask it again. When you call on the name of the Lord, He will answer you. And you know what's, you know, a lot of times He's just saying, safe. Can't touch him anymore. Satan, devil, you can't. No. Can't touch him anymore. He's safe. He's already made it. He called on the name of the Lord. He's made it into the strong tower. You can't harm him. Can't touch him anymore. He's safe. I made a way for him to be saved right here. Salvation comes. I give salvation. The business I'm in. That's what I do. And he's made it. He's safe. Sometimes he's just hollering safe. How many of you want to be safe? Amen. All right. So, one more time. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous, how many of you are righteous? Amen. The righteous run into it and are safe. Let's turn to Psalms. I tell you what, let's go Psalm 121. We've still got just a few minutes here. Psalm 121. All right. There's a bunch of Psalm. Bunch of Psalm. Okay, here we go. Psalm 121. Verse 1. Now, this is kind of neat. You know, Tina had made a painting right there at the back. Look at that painting sometime to go by there. I think it's on the little tag on the bottom of the caption, I think. Psalm 121 talks about, in verse 1, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. Or actually, you know, that's more like a question. From whence comes my help? My help, I say my help, verse 2 there, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. My help comes from the Lord. Let's say that together. My help comes from the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. How many of you know that now? Okay, well, now we need to just remember that later whenever things happen. We just need to rejoin ourselves with that. My help comes from the Lord. Salvation comes from the Lord. I will look up to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. That's who my help is. That's where my salvation comes from. Amen? Okay, let's turn to Psalm 37. We're going to just jump to a couple scriptures here. Oh, Tommy's getting excited. I think he might have remembered something. Psalm 37. Oh, goodness. Almost there. Psalm 37. 37. All right. Oh, man. So many good ones in here, though. I mean, I have the circle over there, and I just have to say this one because I think y'all need it today. Verse 27 of 35. Let them shout for joy and be glad. Woo! Yeah! Yeah, I'm joyful. I'm glad. I favor his righteous cause. And let them continually say, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. That's a good one. Okay. Let them shout for joy. Yeah. How many of you are joyful this morning? Do you favor his righteous cause? Well, then shout for joy. Woo. Oh, woo. Oh, woo. We serve a good God. Woo. Yay. Oh, I'm happy, happy. No, shout for joy. Woo. Yeah. Okay. Now, in verse 40 of Psalm 37, okay, you can get back to 37, sorry. Actually, I'm sorry, let's back up. 39. I know, chapter 1 of Genesis. Okay, now, 39. But the salvation of the righteous is from where? The Lord. And he is, oh, goodness gracious. Oh, this is good. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Where does my strength come from? The Lord. Where does my help come from? Where does my salvation come from? Man, he sounds like Walmart. He's got everything I need. I mean, he is their strength in the time of trouble. Verse 40, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them. Why? Why? Because they trust in him. How can you trust in something if you don't know him? We've got to know him. We've got to remember him. We've got to spend time with him. And that way we can trust him. Right? Amen. And as we trust him, he will deliver us. He will help us. He'll be our strength. He'll be our salvation. Our help, our righteousness, our salvation, our deliverance, it all comes from the Lord. Amen? Amen. Okay. All right. I got another one. Okay. Let's turn to, I tell you what, let's turn to Acts 4. I'm going to read you a scripture, but y'all turn to Acts 4. We talked about this just a minute ago, about the power in the name of Jesus. I'm going to read this too. I had to put this in there. This was so good. It says here, Psalm, I'm just reading this one, okay? Y'all just don't worry about changing. Okay. Psalm 143, verse 1. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In your faithfulness, answer me. And in your righteousness, I skip on down. It says, do not enter into judgment in your servant, verse 2. For in your sight, no one living is righteous. For the enemy has persecuted my soul, has crushed my life to the ground, made me dwell in darkness. Ooh, sounding pretty low. Like those who have long been dead. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is distressed. Oh, my goodness. What's going to happen next? I remember the days of old. And I meditate on all your works. I muse on the work of your hands. I muse on the work of your hands. I remember, you know what? You delivered me, God, before. You helped me before. And I remember that you did that for so-and-so, too. And I remember that you brought salvation to you know, John. And you brought in, and then, what was his name that lived down there down the road? You know, he got healed that time, and we prayed for him. And then you know, Eddie's dad got healed, and Travis and Larry and you raised Cassie from the dead. I mean, you know, you've done all these things. I remembered the works of the Lord. And I just like the word, you know, muse. I think that's the only time in the Bible that word's even used. But it says, I muse on the work of your hands. And basically, muse just means to just sit there and just think quietly. Just, Oh, goodness. Man, he's so good. I mean, he is so good. You know, a lot of times we just need to be still and know that he is God. You know, when you get still and quiet and shut your mind down from, you know, thinking, you know, shut your mind down and just think about, just muse on the works of the Lord. Just think about God, all the good stuff he's done for you all your life. Blessed you and kept you alive, kept you healed, or healed you whenever sickness came upon you, and, you know, kept your family together, and, you know, and all this, just all the good, the muse. Just think about the works of the Lord, amen. And then, and hey, know that in this case, just like all of those cases, know that when you call upon the name of the Lord, whenever you cry out to him, when you pray to him, he is going to answer you. He, in his faithfulness, he will answer you because God is faithful. Amen? All right, so Acts. Sorry, let's jump over there real quick. All right, two references and we'll be done. All right. Is this good? Is this helping you? Okay. Okay. In Acts 2, Acts 4, we have, don't change too fast. You people with the iPad, y'all are phew, already there. The other people are going, you know. Okay, so anyway, in Acts 4, we have the situation where Peter and John had gone to pray. They met the lame man on the way. I'm going to sing the song real fast. He stuck out his palms, asked for alms, and got legs, and as Dad always says, asked for alms and got legs. But anyway, and this is what Peter did say: silver and gold have I none, but such as I have given thee. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, so he used the name of Jesus Christ. He said, "Rise up and walk." And then he went walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God. Okay, in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay, anyway, so that's the song, and that's what happened. Pretty quick, pretty easy. All right, but he used the name of Jesus, and this man was healed. And he tells everybody, this is what's crazy, I think it's twice in here. He tells everybody this, why are y'all all, you know, amused at all this? You know, it's the name of Jesus. You can have the same power, basically. You can have the same, it's just the name of Jesus. I'm not anything special. I just have God on my side. I just know where my help comes from. I just know where deliverance comes from that this man needed. It comes from Jesus. It comes from God. And so, you know, whenever I use the name of Jesus, that's just what happens. You ought to try it. Pretty good. Pretty neat stuff. You know, so anyway, and then the rulers, you know, they're not happy about this. So they bring him in and they ask a question and he tells them the same thing. You know, it's the name of Jesus. You know the guy that you crucified? You remember him? Yeah, that's the guy. He's the one that we have power through, and that's how we do all these works and these signs. It's not us. It's not only that we believe and we trust and we know that when we call and we pray and we cry out to him that he will answer us. Now, because we know that, because we trust in him and we believe in him and we call on the name and we know where help comes from, that's how this thing happens. Are y'all the same crowd as that, you know, believers like that? I am. I know where my help comes from. I know when I pray that it's going to happen, he's going to answer me. And I know that God is my deliverance, my salvation, my strength. You know, I know that. So those same things can happen to me too. Amen? Well, okay. So now, it says here in chapter 4, verse 11, this is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other name. For there is no other name. Everybody say, no other name.
No other name.
There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now, I think it's interesting here, and I'm going to point this out. He's talking here about salvation. Specifically, you know, it takes calling on the name of Jesus to be saved, to have eternal life, to go to heaven. But he just healed a guy using the name of Jesus. So he's not just talking about that. He's referencing salvation in, you know, you got to call on the name of Jesus to be saved. Accept, you know, Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You've got to call on his name to be saved, to have eternal life, to go to heaven, spend eternity with him. But it's also the same name that you use to get salvation, meaning healing, deliverance, being set free, getting joy, getting peace, comfort, you know, being blessed, prosperous, you know, a long life. It's the same name. And just like Jesus said, whether it's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or rise, take up your bed and walk, talking about the man that was, you know, bore a four, dropped down in the roof there. It's not any harder to say, Jesus, I need some healing. Save me. Jesus, I need eternal life. I believe you're the Savior. Heal me. You know, it's not easier to say one or the other. It's just a matter of speaking, you know, saying it. And if we know, according to Job, if we will declare a thing, it will be established unto us, and the light will shine upon our ways. In Job 22:28. Okay, so last scripture then. Let's turn to Hebrews. This is a good one. Y'all are going to like this. This is a good one. Hebrews chapter... Oh, goodness. Let's see here. Hold on. Okay. Chapter 13. Let's go to... the first verse is always good. Let brotherly love continue. I just like throwing in little nuggets here and there. You know, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. That's kind of cool. Kind of neat. So, but we skip on down here. In verse 5, it says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, Jesus, your Father God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. All right, now, there's a premise here to go on to the next verse. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Verse 6, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? No, it says that we might boldly say, well, you know, sometimes God helps me. Sometimes I have to get my own help. You know, sometimes it's just me. I know. God's, you know, supposed to be all great and mighty, but, you know, sometimes he needs a little help. He's busy doing other things, and so I just have to do a lot of things on my own. So I don't know where all my help actually comes from. No. The Lord, boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. I will not fear. What can man do to me? God's on my side. I'm not going to be afraid. He's my helper. God's my helper. When I need help, that's who I run to. He's my helper. I'm not going to be afraid of all this going on right here. What can man do? I've got God on my side. I'm locked arm in arm with the Father God. I know where my salvation comes from. I know where my help comes from. My deliverance comes from. I'm not going to be afraid. The Lord is my helper, and he will never leave you and never forsake you so that you can boldly say those things.